All right, welcome to the Drive to Stay Alive, episode number 4. Well, this one's going to be a little different than the rest. Not in content, because I still think we're going to touch upon some topics that are relevant to, you know, what we have been talking about so far. But it'll be different in the fact that I'm actually not going to work today. And although it is a Wednesday, you know, it's a normal 9-to-5 work day, at least for most people. But today for me is a little different because I'm not going to work today because of the events that transpired yesterday. And that was the funeral of my grandmother, my Nana. And unfortunately, death is a part of life. When we're brought to this earth, you know, we are in mortal form. Some, like my brother Timmy, of 24 years, you know, in which to, you know, make their mark upon the world and upon others. And then some, like, you know, my grandma, my Nana. I don't even know why I call her grandma. I've called her Nana my entire life. I don't think I've once called her grandma, so sorry about that. My Nana, which is my mom's mom, she got 80 years, but only 77, like, good ones, because she did have a tumor. It was a benign tumor in her brain, which they found, like, 10 years ago or something, and so it was allowed to exist there because I'm pretty sure benign is the one that means, like, where it's not cancerous or it's not really harming you a lot, or, you know. But the thing is, the problem with her was that she developed Alzheimer's, and hers, like, rapidly just kind of, like, took place. Like, I mean, it just kind of rapidly accelerated, I guess, is, like, the word for it. So they decided to try surgery on her brain to either remove the tumor or to just remove parts of it so that maybe it would slow down. They thought maybe that was accelerating the Alzheimer's, you know. And unfortunately, the surgery did not work. And when she came out of it, she was unable to walk ever again. She was unable to really talk at all. She wasn't able to take care of herself at all. I mean, it was like she was walking and functioning like a normal human being when she went into the surgery. When she was out, she was just kind of, for lack of a better word, like, just immobile, I guess. And just, like, and so then she got moved to a nursing home and couldn't eat on her own, couldn't do anything on her own. So it was just, I mean, it was awful because my Nana was the most caring and, like, hardworking person, like, I've ever known. And the thing is, but not so much as far as, like, a job goes. You know, most people are, like, hardworking at their job. Nana's job, well, I guess, yeah, if you want to put it this way, then Nana's job was taking care of this family. You know, like, she, every holiday was an unbelievable success because of all the hard work she put in to get everybody to show up, you know, to get everybody to be there. She always had it at her house. She, you know, bought all the food. She cooked it all. She cleaned everything. She made sure that everybody was having a good time. There were no fights. There was no, like, animosity towards each other. Like, took us all to church. She constantly reminded us about, like, what was important, you know. Like, for Christmas, it's like, yes, she did still give us presents, but she made us, like, read from the Bible and to tell the story of Jesus and God and how that is the true meaning of Christmas. So she held all, I mean, everything, like, as far as, like, love, family, caring, kindness, respect, you know, all the positive qualities that you want in a person, she had. And she took it upon herself to make sure that everybody else understood those, and also, you know, to teach everybody, like, this is what's important in life. So my Nana was one of the greatest people I've ever known, without a doubt. But the thing is, she didn't stop there. She didn't stop with her family. She volunteered both at her church and also with the St. Vincent de Paul Society so she could provide monetary support, to pick and saves or something, and pick up their day old bread or something like that, and donate it, then bring it to churches and other things for families who did not have enough food. And she'd go into houses and go and talk with people who just needed something. So, like, you know, she'd be like in care, in home support. She'd do all that kind of stuff with her spare time. You know, it's like she could have, that was her hobby. And that was the thing, is like she could have done anything she wanted to. I mean, and, you know, they did, my grandparents did still, like, you know, go out and travel and, you know, had other kind of things that did it. But, like, the majority of time, my Nana, when she had free time, she would either be at church or she would be out helping people. And if there was, like, you know, a saint, like, she was it. You know? She was just such an incredible person. And one of my things that I always loved most about her was that she honestly cared about me. And I know it sounds stupid because shouldn't, you know, anybody like that's in your family or anybody that's close to you, shouldn't they care about you? It's like, and they do, you know, I'm not, and this is not to shortchange anybody else, but like a conversation with my Nana could go on for hours because she wanted to know everything about you. She wanted to know how your job was going, you know, then she wanted to know how you are doing, and she wanted to know, well, how's school, like, how's this and that, like, then she'd ask me, like, well, how are your other grandparents, you know, it's like, she wanted to know everything that you were involved with, and if you had anything coming up, like, there's not anything in, like, recent years, but say when I was, like, back in, like, high school or something like that, she would come to all my band concerts, or, she'd be at, you know, at every birthday party or something, or like something, anything that would come up. Like, I don't have, you know, I'm losing specific examples right now, but it's like, if you had something going on, and you wanted someone to be, you know, it's like you wanted some support, I guess. That's probably the best way to put it, is that if there was something going on that you needed support for, she was there. She would make sure that she could be there for it. You know, it's like, she always made time for you. And I think it's just it's a very rare quality these days, because everybody is just so busy with their own lives. And you get wrapped up in, you know, you just get wrapped up in, like, everything that you're doing personally. You kind of sometimes forget to take care of, you know, just see what everybody else is up to. So, it's just amazing to find that in a person. That, you know, that caring and loving attitude. Like I said, very, very rare in these days. And I don't see why. It really should be something that we focus more on, because the world is not about things. You know, things come and go. Like, and so it is about people. But you say, like, someone might, you know, like, oh, their argument, but you're like, well, don't, like, people come and go as well? And it's like, yes, technically, you know, I guess, you know, I've had three people in my life, obviously Timmy, and then my grandpa, my dad's dad, and then now my Nana, my mom's mom, I've had three people that I loved, you know, and I knew in my entire life, who have passed. And so you say, yes, I can fully attest to that, that people do come and go as well. But I will almost, I'm 100% guarantee you that, like, the people in your life have impacted you more than those things. Like, there's a lot of things I've had in my life that, like, I don't remember having, you know? Like, what I got for my 5th birthday. Or what my first bike looked like. Or, you know, some stupid thing I bought in college because I thought it was funny. Like, I don't remember that kind of stuff. But I will never forget the things that Timmy taught me. I'll never forget, you know, how my grandpa taught me how to fish. And I'll certainly never forget how much my Nana loved me, you know? So it's like, if people are the most important things in your life, then shouldn't you always then take the time to spend time with them, to tell them how much you love them, to set aside anything else to do something for them? I mean, without a doubt, I mean, that should be the number one priority always. So I certainly have tried my hardest to make that happen. And that's actually one of the reasons why I'm not at work today. Because, you know, like, I could have taken a day off of work. I didn't have to. I mean, I was given 3 days, but, like, I decided to take a day off of work because my mom is off of work today. And it's more important than anything else for me to look after my mom. Like, I'll always be there for her, you know? Just because she's the same kind of person as my Nana. I mean, it's, you can certainly tell, you know, that they, we are related, you know, and the fact that, you know, my mom, you know, she's just like my Nana, where she'll set aside, you know, her entire life for someone else. And so, I guess in my way then, that, I guess I can try to be like my mom, and I can try to be like my Nana, and then when anybody needs, my assistance, I can set aside, you know, I can set aside my life for them. So, yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign off for right now, because I'm at the funeral home. We got to drop off some stuff and pick up some other things and just take care of some things. So I will continue this episode at a later time today as I'm driving around. And we'll talk to you later. Because I certainly do have a whole lot more to say. So we'll take care for now. All right, well, here we are. Ready to continue, I guess, the adventure that we had started before. And I think when I last left off, I think I was just talking about how amazing my Nana was. And how we all could stand to learn, you know, a few lessons from the way that she lived her life and all the examples she set forth. Which is kind of, when I was thinking about earlier how my mom does display a lot of those same qualities. And I think I also have, you know, some of that things too. Like, I'll admit I'm probably more selfish than, you know, than they were. And I tend to, you know, kind of do a lot of things for myself, as opposed to doing them for other people. I'm really just kind of like a me first kind of person a lot of times, unfortunately. And so, I mean, that kind of sucks as far as wanting to become somebody that is like selfless and and giving and caring and, you know, full of love and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely would have to work on that. But the thing, the problem with that is I think that that's just kind of more of something you have or you don't. You know, it takes a certain kind of person to put everybody else ahead of themselves. And it's something that, you know, I don't think it's something that could be taught. So I think it's definitely something you could be conscious of. You know, and every time like a situation presents itself, you can try to act in a certain way. But like, it's a have or have not kind of situation. But one thing I could say, if there's something I could say, like I'm good at something, like I think I'm good at being there. Like, a lot of the decisions I make in my life are about being there for someone else, I guess. I mean, like, while I'm there, I mean, I don't do a lot when I'm there, but at least I'm on hand. You know, like for instance, like, the recent move I made, you know, I moved half a mile away from my mom's house. That's like, so I have a place of my own, but I'm still in the neighborhood in case she ever needs anything. Or about how when it comes time to like take a vacation, like I could take a vacation, save up money to go anywhere and use my vacation time, but instead I'll use that vacation time to go visit my brother. And so it's like, yes, I do have a good time over at my mom's house. I get enjoyment out of that. And yes, when I do visit my brother, I have a hell of a good time. But it's the fact that, like, I put doing those things ahead of doing other things. Like, when I get, like, a night off or something, when I have nothing else to do, I'll go hang out with Jenny. And so I'm always putting, like, my family ahead of everybody else. And I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. That is what I choose to do with my time. And it's like every time that is what I choose. I choose to do. And that is how I like to live my life. Like every time like something pops up randomly, like my mom will be like, "Oh yeah, there's this party we're going to," or it's, you know, a friend's birthday party or anything like that. For the most part, I'm usually always there. Because I don't... And maybe this is just my lifestyle, is the fact that I don't make plans. I don't hang out with other people just because I got a lot of things to do on my own. Like, but for the most part, I'm always there. That's one nice thing, I guess. Because, like, this whole time I think we've been talking here over these last, like, 4 weeks... This is episode number 4, I believe. But this whole time we've been talking, like, I've just been saying a lot of negative things about myself. Like, and there are enough. There's plenty of bad things I could say about myself. Some things I probably haven't even touched on yet. Just because I devalue myself so incredibly much. There's so many things I don't like about myself. And that if, you know, given the chance, like, I would like to try to change them, but I hardly ever stop to take a look at the things that I do well, or the things that I do like about myself, because I'm pretty sure that there is a good amount of them. And in one such instance, like for two nights ago, whatever. It doesn't matter the number of nights. When someone's listening to this like weeks later, it's like it doesn't matter how many nights ago something happened because they have no reference of time. But when I was sitting around with my brother James, just like talking about our Nana and all the good things that, you know, that because he had to give a eulogy, you know. So he was sitting here talking about all the good things, and I think the way that I'm able to just come up with a good way of saying things. And that has a lot to do with being a writer. And the fact that, like, anybody can write, like, say, for instance, like the dog walked down the street, but somebody who writes and somebody who knows a lot of words and, you know, they're well versed and they're practiced and they're creative and everything like that, you could say, like, you know, the collie. See, this is going to be a really bad example because now I'm put on the spot, but it's like, say the collie, you know, ran through the park with boundless energy that took its back to its days of being a pup, you know, when it enjoyed the outdoors. And I mean, that is probably a really dumb sentence looking at it right now, but it's the kind of thing, it's like where instead of just saying something stupid, like simple, sometimes simple's good, don't get me wrong, simplicity is often really good, but you can say things really eloquently and just it changes the meaning of what you say. Because, it really changes the meaning of what you say, because it surrounds it with so many descriptive words that you get a clearer sense of, you know, what's going on. And so, that's something that I can be pretty good at. Like, I know I'm a good writer. You know, I don't think I'm a good writer for someone else. Like if someone says, hey, write this up for me, write me a speech or something like that, I can't do it. If I'm going to write, I have to write in my voice. I have to write in my style and just kind of like, so I could write a good paper. I could write factual stuff. Like if I was going to write like a term paper, like I can write the shit out of a term paper. One of my favorite things about college too was the fact that I could bang out like an 8-10 page paper in like 2 hours, like the night before it was due. Like it's just one of those things that I was good at. I was good at writing papers, and that was always like really nice because I didn't really have to try at it. It's always a good thing to not have to try at something but still do it really well, you know, just be, or when something is effortless but also amazing. So I really do like to do that, you know. I don't know, I that's about all I could talk about right now with that. Oh, shut your mouth. Learn how to drive. So, yeah, that's all I got about that subject right now. There's probably more things that I can talk about. I don't really know what else to really bring up at this point. Other than to say, like, things really kind of do suck right now. Like, I wish I had a better way of putting it, or kind of just more reasons, I guess, like, and then I should be at least in one way happy, because over the weekend I did have my cousin's wedding, my cousin Susie, and I had a really good time, you know, like, a really, really good time, but... And I hate to take away anything from that. I love Curtis. You know, I'm excited for them. Glad he's a part of the family. Unbelievably glad, because I love Curtis so much. Like, so... That's happy. It really is, but... As far as everything else goes, not so much. Just... I miss a lot of people so much, and then I hate Christmas. First, I hate fall, first of all. Not so much like September, October, fall. Once it comes to like November, like all the leaves are off the trees. It's cold as shit. Like I got out to my car on Monday after work, and there was snow on my car. It was pitch dark and just cold as hell. Which doesn't make sense, really, if you think about it. Because isn't hell just like the hottest place ever? they say, like, hotter than hell and damnation itself, you know, like, so you're supposed to sit there and burn in hell. So you're like, yeah, why don't you burn in hell, you son of a bitch, you know, you fucking murderer, you rapist, you know, and you tell me, I hope you fry in hell, you know. And then though people, like, say that and everything, but then why would I say it's cold as hell? Like, that doesn't make sense. So I think that's why me and Jenny, a lot of times, will say it's, like, cold as balls. But, like, so that's funny, but at the same time, that doesn't make sense. Because, have you ever heard, like, say, for instance, like, you're out somewhere and you're freezing. Like, you're stuck out in the cold for some reason. And the first thing to go to frostbite is always, like, your fingers and your toes, like your extremities, you know, like, because they're, like, the furthest away from your heart. They're also some of the smaller, like, you know, things on your body. And so they receive, like, the least amount of blood flow. And so that's why it's, like, if you want to save your hands, like, from getting frostbite and having, like, you know, falling off and stuff like that, you're actually supposed to put your hands, like, down your pants. Like, you know, and not like fondle yourself or anything like that. Don't be sick about it, you pervert. You know, but, you know, just to put your hands, like, in your crotchal region, because that's, like, one of the warmer parts of your body, but also, like, you know, gets the most blood flow. So I don't know why I'm talking about sticking your hands down your pants and making me feel a little uncomfortable. I can only imagine that you're doing the same thing right now. Just getting a little squeamish in your chair. But, no, so cold as balls. Basically, cold as balls doesn't make sense either. Because balls are usually not cold. So, and then I also say, like, I said before, like, cold as shit. But that doesn't make sense either. Because, like, how many times have you seen, like, you know, a dog, like, take a shit? And there's, like, a steaming little steam, like, coming off of it. And so that's why you say, like, you know, it's like, oh man, that elephant just took a steaming pile of shit, you know. And so you've heard, like, shit, like, steaming before. I don't know, when did I get gross? This is all, I started off being all sweet because of my grandma, who, you know, taught me so much in life and everything like that. And now I'm talking about putting your hands down your crotch, steaming piles of shit, and hell and damnation. So I'm sorry, Nana, that I really strayed, you know, too far away from what I was talking about before, but, you know, Timmy would understand. You know, to take another, you know, person, I guess, that we're gonna talk, if I'm thinking about all of you guys at the same time, I'm allowed to present all these ideas at the same time and all this, you know, these levels of ridiculousness. So I think you guys all get it. So I guess that's maybe why people just say it was cold outside, because anything else you try to say, like, just comes off sounding really, like, stupid when you break it down to, like, what the words actually say. And that goes back to the thing that I said before about being a writer and being creative, is the fact that, like, you know, you just saying it is cold, or it was cold, does its job on its own. But once I start adding all those words around it, yeah, sometimes it can really kind of amplify the meaning and the usage of the words and everything like that, and kind of paint a better picture. But sometimes when you actually sit down and analyze it, it can actually come off as being rather ridiculous, because technically what I'm saying doesn't make sense. So that's that, you know. So yeah. But the guys try to pull a positive out of this. And I started doing so at the beginning of this little segment right here. Was about saying how, connecting it back to the whole purpose of this podcast, and that was in the fact that I'm trying to find a purpose in my life, or trying to find a meaning or something like that. And it may not be the ultimate meaning, because I still really think I'm destined for something very great. But if I do like little good things along the way, maybe it can equal great at the end of the day. So what I'm going to try to do then is find some little things that I'm good at and do those. And I think one of the little good things that I can do is I can always be there. And it can be something as simple as, you know, like taking a day off of work to do something else instead. Instead of working and instead of taking like a day of vacation, take a day to actually do something better with your time than sitting around drinking or going to a baseball game or something like that. Like, do something better with my vacation time, like when I'm not working. You know, or just stopping over at my papa's house just to say hi, when instead I was going to go out and do something else. Or like, I mean, and I already do a lot of these things. Like, for instance, like, I drop by my dad's house, you know, 2-3 times a week sometimes. And it's like, so I already do enough of that stuff, which is really good because it is something that I can do. Something I already do, something I can do, and something I can continue to do. So that's a win as far as I see it. Like, that's something that I am good at and something that I can keep on doing. So I guess that's step one. That's step one in the finding like some kind of a reason or a purpose in life. You know, it's like, there's one thing that I just said, I found out, and I probably heard this thing kind of thing like a million times in my life, but never really thought about it much. When I was trying to change my life back in March, a segment on this very blog about, I called it 7 and 7, where in a week's time, you know, 7 days, I picked one thing that I'd like to try. One thing I'd like to change about myself, or whatever, you know. It never, but the thing is, the key was, it was never anything major. It was just like, let me try to do this, and at the end of the 7 days, you set a goal, and that's the whole purpose, was to set a goal small enough that you could accomplish in 7 days. So by the end of the time is done, you did feel like you did something. You made a difference. You made a change. You had some kind of a positive win, you know, like, and that was the whole point of it, was to do that. And so maybe that's the point of my life. I might have found a secret. Because if I can equate that to my life and be like, look, I'm never going to cure cancer or like, walk on the moon or, you know, like, raise children or, you know, do this philanthropy, like, of this organization to save a African country. I mean, you're never going to do something that, like, or discover a new something or other. Something that puts you in the history books. Like, there's all those guys that you read about all throughout time about, you know, you could list off names of presidents and explorers and scientists and everything like that, rattle off like all these guys that you know about because they did something great that nobody else has ever done and everything like that. I'm not going to be one of those guys. You know, it's like the sheer possibility that that's going to happen is so small. It's only a certain percentage of people who will ever kind of like be known for all time. You know, that they made that much of an impact on this world that everybody knows who they are. Everybody writes about them, people reference them, dress them up as them for Halloween and shit like that. Maybe I don't have to do that for my life to be considered great. Because if I just do small little things, groups of little things throughout my life, then perhaps, when all's said and done, you add all those little things together, they equal one big thing. And instead, by doing all those small little things, I can do like one small thing for Jenny. I can do one thing for mom. I can do one thing for a friend. I can do one thing for a coworker. You know, that instead of, you know, touching the entire population, like Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, you know? So it's like there's so many people, countless generations, and even generations of people today that are that have Abraham Lincoln to thank that they are not slave. They're not born into slavery. They are free. And so that the multitude of people that can be thankful for that, it's unreachable. I mean, for someone like me, it's not going to happen. But still, if I can change one person, I can help somebody out, one person, that's better than doing nothing at all. And then it's like you have the possibility. It's like the ripple in the pond effect, you know. It's like you do something to somebody else, pay it forward, you know, like it goes on like and on and everything like that. So you can do something great by doing something small. I don't know. I'm not buying it either right now. I'm sorry. Just to be quite honest with you, I'm calling a little bullshit on myself just because I'm a skeptic, you know. But it's worth a shot. Got to start off. No great movement, great idea, great plan started off big. Everything starts off small and then it kind of rolls, gathers, you know, some momentum and rolls, you know. Like an unstoppable force from there on out. But I always start small with like an idea. So if I could start this thing off small and just kind of like figure out bits and pieces as I go along the way, maybe it'll work out. But if it doesn't, at least I could say I tried. You know? And I think that's what I have to do with my life. I have to try. Because I've been spending too much of my life not doing anything. Keep trying. Eventually one of these things is going to work. It has to, or else what's the point, you know? So, I'm going to stop this one from right here. If maybe... Yeah, I think I'll probably call this episode right here. I guess just lastly, you know, in closing, you know, it's life, you know. You only got one of them. We all only have, you know, as evident in the last two episodes talking about, we only have a limited time here. The days are numbered. Time's wasting away. You can't really get any of it back. So really, just make good use of it. You know, don't waste it. You know, life's a really precious thing. You know, just go out there and keep living, man. Even in times when it just kind of seems like there's really no good can come out of it and everything kind of seems terrible like it does right now for me, there's still a reason to keep on living. There's still so much left to do, so I'm going to, you know, peace out, man. Enjoy life. Keep on living. We'll see you next time. Later.